Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
When it comes to like exotic pets, how do you feel about a chicken?
Helping you unwind after a long day of work.
Why is there a chicken?
I saw at a local place where like you can adopt pets. It's like, you know, you're looking to see like what they got dog-wise, and like, there's a chicken.
This is a dog, not a chicken. Chickens don't look like dogs.
Can a chicken be a pet?
No.
It feels like it'd be pretty easy to take care of.
The Nightcap.
Who the hell would want a chicken for a pet?
On WGR.
This is day one, and I'm already thinking about acquiring a chicken.
Sports Radio 550.
Chicken Watch rolls along. I have not checked the website to see if he is still available. Derek, he could be yours for a mere $7.
I don't want him for $7. You'd have to pay
Think
me to
about
take
it.
Care
How much does... Go ahead.
You'd have to pay me to take care of the chicken. And take care
how
of
much
not
does
even
chicken...
keep.
How much does it cost to get chicken at the grocery store? I mean, even that's a good deal.
Bro.
Joe DiBiase, Derek Kramer, here on the Nightcap on WGR. It's a good open. I like it. Come on, it's not that bad.
No, I know. Saying
803.
Oh, you might save some money growing to the grocery store instead. Adopt the chicken,
right,
so you can eat the chicken. And you admonished me a couple days ago. How dare you?
What's the difference? It's like you look at lobsters that are in the cage and you're ready to eat them and you don't think about their feelings. Why can't you just have a cage full of chickens?
Because you ain't going to the SPCA
too
to get a chicken. As a bet. Okay,
I'm not going.
Yeah, thank you. You savage.
Okay. You make a good point. You make a good point.
And you
did you see the video
me
of Ben Roethlisberger? Did you see the video of Ben Roethlisberger the Steelers just put out?
No. Let's see. Where
the,
is
the
this
man looks like he just
oh, wow
escaped a cave after like 20 years.
Like,
he just ventured off into the wilderness for the last 12 months and just came back. And like, I don't know, man. He does not look like he's ready to be throwing NFL passes. So
he looks like Tim Allen in Santa Claus.
Yes, that is what he looks like. I saw our buddy Andrew Filippone from 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh was tweeting about how he thinks Pittsburgh is, like, they're back this year, and something about Roethlisberger being better than, being way better than Philip Rivers at this point, and the Steelers being better than the Colts, and I don't know, man, like, does Roethlisberger have to come back and just be the same old Roethlisberger? He was already throwing way more interceptions than he used to, and I'd be wary of just assuming that a quarterback that's at his age and also not the typical, you know, prototypical keep your body in shape type of guy. I'm just going to assume he's going to come back from a right elbow injury and just be great again. I don't know. I'm kind of I would be worried if I'm Pittsburgh about what version of Roethlisberger is coming back. In fact, if I were them, actually, they don't have a first-round pick, do they? I was going to say
nope.
I'd be looking to draft the quarterback in the first round, but they don't have one.
No, they don't. And honestly, though, I'm not too worried about it if I'm a Steelers fan, because think about it. You had Mason Rudolph and Devlin Hodges last year, and at their worst, yeah, those two lost you games. Roethlisberger still can do that with mm-hmm some bad decision-making sometimes, but even if he is mediocre, he is better than the quarterbacking options that kept Pittsburgh out of the playoffs last year.
Probably. Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. What do you think about them, though, as a landing spot for either a Jameis Winston or a Cam Newton? I saw it was one of the ESPN guys, maybe Lewis Riddick. They were doing a QB carousel of who's left on the market and like what's the best fit for them. And I think it was Lewis Riddick. I might have that wrong, but I think it was him. He picked Pittsburgh for Jameis Winston. And like, I could see that. If I'm one of these free agent quarterbacks and I'm trying to pick a spot that I think maybe I could take over at some point, Pittsburgh, because of Roethlisberger's injury status and also not knowing how good he is, like, I think that's not a terrible spot if I'm Jameis Winston, for instance. Where else? What's a better spot for Jameis Winston if you're him, other than New England? Because obviously that's a starting job available. Well, if you're Jameis Winston, though.
Yeah,
not if
garbage.
You're a team.
No, I think you're absolutely right about that with Winston being an option for the Steelers as a backup, especially with the health of Roethlisberger. That would be a kick the tires worthy thing to do. I don't know, man. I just don't like Jameis Winston. I think that with the Bills having a guy who tried to lob a ball up like a shortstop in a playoff game, Jameis Winston is definitely the worst quarterback when it comes to decision making. And it's not just on the field. He's done things off the field that question your judgment about him. And that is definitely why he is not looking at a starting role right now, is because of the fact that his decision making, first off the field, then on the field, is very questionable, if I'm being nice. So I don't know. The Steelers, yeah, you could kick the tires on that. But honestly, I might go ahead and say you deal with one more year of Roethlisberger. You got yourself your first round pick. Go back into the quarterback carousel and try to get one from there. I'm not really too worried about that if I'm Pittsburgh right now.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point. I'm trying to think, like, where are the landing spot for these guys, though? And I'm having a tough time. So maybe, like, picking a spot behind one of these veterans, like maybe the Colts, and trying to battle it out with Philip Rivers, although you're probably going to lose because they just paid him to be the starter. Who else is even up for grabs? Maybe Jacksonville, because who knows how long the leash is on Gardner Minshew, but they're also not trying to win. So I don't know if that's the spot I want to pick. I know I mentioned Cam Newton as an idea for the Bills, but I don't think if I'm one of those guys, I'm picking Buffalo because I would think Josh Allen's pretty rock solid. That's a good spot. I'm glad you brought that up. We actually, I think, mentioned them either yesterday or the day before.
Yeah,
go back with Ron Rivera if you're Newton, at least. Even Winston, I mean, I guess could pick there just to think Dwayne Haskins is not tied to Ron Rivera. And he also kind of stinks. So I could totally see him being pulled after, what, 3-4 games?
The Chargers are an option
other than
still.
That, yeah, but isn't that – if they say they're keeping Tyrod Taylor – I think they have to be drafting a rookie. That is Justin Herbert all over the place for me. Like, that is going to be Justin Herbert and Tyrod Taylor.
I know,
and
but
I don't really know
how
Winston fits into that.
How many times do you get that, though, that vote of confidence, and then they go ahead and they turn around and do something literally the opposite of what they said? So that would be not surprising to me if the Chargers went and got Newton. They saw an opportunity to get him in and said, hey, you know what? Yeah, why not? Like, for example, if the Panthers can't get a trade out of there for them, and it's like the Chargers are thinking, I didn't want to have to trade for him, now I can get him for just money instead, and I'm okay with that. I'll sleep at night with that. So that's something that would be probably a better option there. And you know, if I'm Winston,
what about San Francisco?
I've got one for you. What about Dallas for Winston?
Ooh, are you thinking in terms of maybe Dak Prescott and a contract issue here at some point?
Yeah, I'm thinking that is probably the best bet for you, is that if it gets too expensive to sign him to another franchise tag and you think that you might have a way to move on from that, and or if you're in so much cap trouble that you're like, I can't pay Dak Prescott a mega deal,
yeah,
then maybe Jameis Winston becomes the guy you shoehorn in there before you draft a different quarterback there. So Dallas is an option.
Also, what about Cincinnati? Like, you're not going to be the long-term starter there. In fact, you probably don't even get week one. But maybe if you have a good enough training camp, you could get work yourself into a bridge type of deal there where, like, if it's going to be tough for any of these guys to start anywhere, maybe an opportunity would be, hey, if Joe Burrow doesn't look 100% ready in training camp, then if I'm Newton or Winston, I could think, hey, the Bengals, like, I could maybe start the first couple of games. They are not good, so I'm probably going to lose them, and I'm going to probably get pulled at some point. But it might give me enough time to show that I have enough left in the tank where they could either trade me to somebody or I could go find another team next year that will be more willing to make me their starter. So, like, maybe the Bengals for that. And then the other team I had a thought about was San Francisco, because I continue to think that Kyle Shanahan does not have 100% confidence in Jimmy Garoppolo. I just don't. I think when you don't let your starting franchise quarterback try to take you down the field at the ends of halves like they were doing in important games, you don't let him sling the ball all over the field, you do not have 100% confidence in him. And I don't think they'd really get to pulling Garoppolo unless it was a strictly Kyle Shanahan decision. And what it feels like is that he's kind of the lead dog there, that he is maybe in charge of personnel or has a bigger say in personnel than a lot of head coaches do. So I'm thinking about the 49ers maybe as a spot if I'm maybe Winston or Newton as well. But you're right. Like, it's tough. It's tough to pick out a spot because all of the starting spots are gone except for New England. And there's really the only team that I think is going to go into training camp with an open competition that isn't going to be drafting a rookie is Chicago. It's going to be Nick Foles versus Trubisky. And maybe you could try to work your way in there, but they seem like they're all set. While we're on quarterback and we're talking about the league as a whole, how many teams, the rookie selection process to me is very interesting in that I don't know how many teams, when I'm looking at the draft order, would actually be poised to draft a rookie quarterback in the first round. Like, it's tough for me to see that. Cincinnati is going to draft Joe Burrow 1 overall. So we got that lock solid. That's going to happen. Now, Tua seems to be linked to Miami a lot. There's a good Tua conversation. Does Washington decide to pick him at 2? Does Detroit want to pair him with Matthew Stafford and start to plan for the next step after Stafford? Does he fall to Miami? Do the Chargers jump in front of Miami and draft him? And if not, they're probably going Justin Herbert. So you're going to get one team drafting Tua in the top 5. I think the Chargers probably, unless they trade up, are going to draft Justin Herbert at 6. And then you've got a couple of these other guys that some people are mentioning, like, hey, maybe the back of the first round, maybe the first couple picks of the second round, and that would be who? Jordan Love, Jacob Eason. I might be missing a guy. Is Jalen Hurts maybe getting a little bit of respect? Probably not that early. But I think we might see a draft here where we get some surprise teams with older quarterbacks like Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers, 36 years old. He's a lot older than I thought he was. 36 years old is Rodgers. They could start thinking about the next step. That's not crazy. New Orleans, of course. Like, I'm still not buying that they think Taysom Hill is the next franchise quarterback after Drew Brees. I could see them drafting a Jordan Love or a Jalen Hurts, somebody maybe in the back of the first round or somewhere in the second round. I think the Jaguars, of course, could draft a quarterback. They don't have to be sold on Gardner Minshew. They picked 9th and 20th, so they might have some draft capital to go up and get Justin Herbert. Past that, though, I don't know if I'm finding another team that's even got maybe a possibility. Carolina, I know they signed Bridgewater, but Derek, I don't know if you're taking a call even right now, but like, don't you think that like Carolina, even though they signed Bridgewater, could still draft a quarterback at 7th overall or even maybe try to trade up?
Maybe if they like a guy. I don't think they do. I think they might just think about the next year. I think that's what Bridgewater might be, is the bridge quarterback, not just to start this year, but maybe next. And go from there. Mm-hmm. So that would probably be the idea. I mean, I know there's a lot more respect for next year's class than there is this year's, and that's what makes
things. Teams will wait?
I think some teams might wait. Some teams might want to get in on it because they may think that that's when New England's going to pounce, and God forbid we let them do something good again. So it's. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking teams are more spiteful than they are. But I think that there's a lot more respect for next year's quarterback class than there is this one. Because if I even see the words Jacob Eason, Jake Fromm, or Jordan Love in the first round, I'm going to laugh at whoever's team that is.
Maybe it's New England.
Then I'm laughing at them. That. Then I'm saying that Bill Belichick has lost his cookies.
I mean, probably, but he's also Bill Belichick. And any bad idea that Bill Belichick suddenly puts his name on, I suddenly gain more respect for it. And I'd be worried. If he drafts Jacob Eason, I'd be like, is he going to turn this guy into the next Tom Brady? Like, I'd be thinking about it at least, no?
No, because I respect Bill Belichick, the coach. I don't respect as much Bill Belichick, the personnel man. Because he's kind of lost a little bit of that lately, and like they haven't been very great on hitting on their draft picks as of late. So they're an older team for a reason. The youth has not been able to step up. So I'm not really as confident in Belichick or as scared of Belichick as the personnel man. The coach, still elite, still really good at what he does. But if he goes ahead and takes Jordan Love in the first round, be my guest.
I think New England is Dalton, by the way. I think Dalton starts week one for them. If I had to bet on a guy right now, I know Stidham's the favorite, and I think that's mostly because he's on the roster. I think Dalton ends up in New England.
I think it would be Stidham over Dalton.
Okay. Do you think, like, who's with Stidham though? Do you think they just go into the year with Stidham and Cody Kessler, or do you think like they have a veteran guy behind him, behind Stidham? I can't imagine it's just Stidham and Cody Kessler. That sounds crazy to me.
I would think that July cuts would probably factor in.
Maybe they'll go for Taysom Hill.
There's a first round tender on him.
Yeah, you can work out something on the side with New Orleans. Be like, listen, come on. You don't really think you're getting a first round pick for Taysom Hill. We're going to throw you a second, and we're going to give you player X. Like, give me Taysom Hill. Come on. Like, he's a gunner.
The question
he's a
receiver. Why would you do that?
Bill Belichick's got a big ego, and he's going to be like, oh, yeah, Tom, you want to go to Tampa? I'm going to take this fullback, and I'm going to make him my franchise quarterback, and we're going to win a Super Bowl. See if you like me now. Now who's the best coach of all time? Maybe he does that. But there's a lot of interesting things they could do. I don't know what to think about. Like, Dalton, to me, makes the most sense because I don't even know why he makes the most sense. He just feels, like, in my gut, it feels like Andy Dalton to the Patriots. And Winston because of the turnovers, Cam Newton because of the health and all the question marks surrounding what level of play he could still give you at this point. New England would maybe be like going for the safe option. That's it. And maybe you're right. Stidham starts and maybe even Andy Dalton's the backup to start the year. But I cannot see it just being Stidham and Cody Kessler. That sounds ludicrous to me.
I would agree with you on that. I think that that's the point. Like, I think you're gravitating toward Dalton because it makes enough sense. And right. I do agree with you that they're not going to go into it with just those two quarterbacks in Stidham and Kessler. That would just be asinine or the ego trip of all ego trips. I think that that's just not enough of that would make sense to me. So I think that, there's enough to that to think it makes sense. But at the same time, for all intents and purposes right now, if I'm not mistaken, you have to go acquire him, right?
Yeah.
So maybe since he keeps Dalton around as the bridge to Joe Burrow, and
yeah, maybe
because that makes sense.
Yeah, the thing about Burrow though, except this is different from obviously like even Tua. Like if Tua ends up in Miami, like a lot of people think, I think most people expect Ryan Fitzpatrick to start the year as their bridge quarterback. One, because Tua's got health concerns, and also because he's a little bit more raw. And Burrow is being built up as this pro ready, coming from a pro system style quarterback. I think he's a little bit older than Tua. I might have that wrong. Burrow is 23 years old already, and Tua Tagovailoa, or it's Tagovailoa, I gotta get his name right, just turned 22. Okay, so they're a year apart, so it's not that crazy. But yeah, Burrow, I don't know. Like, I don't know if Dalton's still there, because Burrow seems like he's ready to start week one. And I don't really know if you need Andy Dalton at that point. But again, if they can't find anything to trade for him and the trade market is drying up right now, then maybe they either outright release him or decide, yeah, we'll just bring him back and he could be the mentor for this year.
Yeah, what's the harm in keeping Andy Dalton if you're Cincy? What's the harm, really? Because you've already benched him for, what was it, Ryan Finley last year? So
yeah, Ryan Finley. They were tanking, though. Like, right? They were.
No, I know.
They started Ryan Finley to tank.
I know, but you're not worrying about hurting his feelings anymore because you benched him for Ryan Finley.
Yeah. Do you know who could end up out of a job, by the way? Josh Rosen. If they draft Tua, Fitz is not getting cut. And maybe they could keep three quarterbacks, but I think Josh Rosen gets released. And, I mean, he probably becomes somebody's backup. Maybe that's New England. How about Josh Rosen for New England? What do we think about that?
Three quarterbacks from that draft class still remain in the AFC East.
That would be crazy.
It would be crazy, but I wouldn't dismiss that. No, I wouldn't dismiss that at all.
I actually, you know what? That might be my new favorite idea. I think I hadn't thought of it before this very moment, but I bet you Belichick would look at Josh Rosen and he would see some of the things that we kind of see in him. Like, he's an accurate quarterback. He's also got a lot of downfalls. There are maybe some personality traits to be worried about. But there are good, solid excuses for why his career has gone the way it has. The Arizona Cardinals in his rookie year had the least creative offense I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, it rivals that of Rick Dennison with the Bills a couple years ago. It looked like a preseason offense all year. So he didn't get almost any help in Arizona. Then they were in a spot to draft Kyler Murray, which they smartly did. Rosen, instead of being the backup, they trade him to Miami, who was tanking and had no offensive line. And the one thing about Rosen, one of his downfalls, is that he's not athletic. So you need to have a good offensive line in front of him. He's not Josh Allen. He is not even Sam Darnold. He's not Lamar Jackson. If you, those guys, like Allen, we saw a couple years ago, bad offensive line, he'll do fine. He'll go create space for himself because he can make guys miss, and he can create more time and spacing with his legs because he's so fast. Rosen is just like a statue back there. So if he is not being protected, he's on the ground. And Miami provided him with one of the worst offensive lines in football. So no wonder he struggled last season. And then, of course, they turned to Ryan Fitzpatrick, so there was really no ever commitment to making him their franchise quarterback. New England, bringing him in with not a great offensive line, but a better offensive line, with some okay weapons and a team that is ready to win right now, and Josh McDaniels is their offensive coordinator. I think Josh Rosen could succeed in New England. That's my new favorite idea. I like Josh Rosen for the Patriots over Taysom Hill, which I brought up a second ago.
Look at that. We get your wheel turning, and now you've got Josh Rosen to New England as an idea.
I hadn't even thought of it. I just talked myself into it. It wasn't even something I had even thought a second about before right now. And actually, he's not even on their betting odds list. Like, you could bet on Jacoby Brissett to be the Patriots starter. You could bet on Dalton. You could bet on Stidham. You could even bet on Cody Kessler. You could bet on Eli Manning. Eli Manning's got odds right now to be the Patriots quarterback. You think he'd come back for that?
No.
I think he'd come back for that.
No.
You don't?
No.
Oh, I don't know, man. Eli, I think he'd come. If Bill Belichick rang Eli Manning right now and said, listen, Eli, I know you just retired. I know you want to play your whole career as a New York Giant, but you could be the starting quarterback of the New England freaking Patriots right now, who has been in the playoffs like every single year for 20 years, 6 Super Bowls, one last ride into the sunset. What do you say?
No.
Like, I think he'd at least think about it. No, I don't know, man. I think he might think about it.
I don't think he would do it. I would say stick to your Josh Rosen take.
Okay, I'm going to stick to Josh Rosen then. We are going to get some more good football stuff. By the way, good to have football free agency this week. I know they got some criticism for, like, oh, you're handing out all these millions of dollars to these athletes while people can't even really leave their homes and everything in the world is going on. But having, I said it earlier in the show, having some sort of normalcy, I think, is nice. And, it, of course, me and you personally, selfishly, it does benefit us to have something to talk about this week. We'll have some more fun maybe in the future and some sillier ideas. But it was nice to have free agency to talk about this week. It was nice to have a big Bills trade to talk about and some big Bills signings as well. So I'm glad that the NFL went through with free agency, especially when it's not like you're playing games in front of fans and all the athletes are around each other. Like, there's no health risks to running free agency at the scheduled time. So I'm glad they did it, and hopefully we can get some more headlines and storylines in the coming weeks. And the draft, too. We're getting closer to draft time, so we'll start ramping that up as well. All right, coming up next, our interview of the day, Greg Cosell, always great. My favorite interview on the station, regular guest with Murph and Tasker on One Bills Live. He is on the way next. Joe DiBiase and Derek Kramer here on the Nightcap on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And
sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back to the Nightcap here. Derek Kramer at the Dunn Tire Studios here in Amherst, New York. Joe DiBiase hanging out in his work distancing studios at his home. So we're here. We're hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us. Greg Cassell was on One Bills Live earlier today with Murph and Tasker. Everyone in separate locations. Well, either way, Greg Cassell still brings it. Here he is with Murph and Tasker on One Bills Live.
Greg, how are you? Everything holding up down there in suburban Philadelphia these days?
Murph, we're doing the best we can. So far, so good. You know, uncertain times we live in right now. So we just try to, I guess, look for normalcy.
Yep.
One of the things that's been hovering around the NFL over the past day and a half, obviously Todd Gurley getting released and picked up immediately by the Atlanta Falcons. Melvin Gordon's name has been floating around our show all day. It looks as though maybe it's been starting to be reported that he's talking and in serious talks with the Denver Broncos. What kind of back is Melvin Gordon at this point? I know he's been to the Pro Bowl twice, but he's, you know, been in and out of the lineup a little bit in San Diego. What can you tell us about the kind of player he is?
It's funny, Steve, because he came out of college, he had a ton of long runs. I think his last year at Wisconsin, he had something like 14 or 15 40-plus yard runs, most of which were touchdowns, I would imagine. But in the NFL, he's kind of evolved into kind of a grinder. He's pretty good at it. He's got good size. He's a little upright, but he's a grinder. And that's really what he's become in the NFL. So, you know, at this point in his career, given that he's a good receiver as well, he probably ends up being a little more of a committee back than a true feature foundation back, which he sort of was a little bit with the Chargers, but never quite reached that level due to his lack of durability.
I want, and Greg, put your general manager hat on for a while. I know you're probably, that hat fits uncomfortably a little bit, but if you're running the Buffalo Bills, would you need, or even how badly would you want Melvin Gordon or a similar veteran kind of premier back with that background, knowing that you got Singletary here, Devin Singletary?
I mean, I think a back like that is a good fit because you're not asking that kind of back to be the number one guy. If Melvin Gordon were to be a Bill, and it sounds like he will not be, but if he were, he would not get 200, 250 carries. He'd be part of a committee with Singletary. And in fact, Singletary would probably be the number one guy there. And maybe Melvin Gordon thinks that. I don't know. If he goes to Denver, they do have Philip Lindsay. So I don't know how they see their backfield. But Gordon obviously felt that he was a premier back, and that's why he held out prior to the 2019 season. And I think the reality of life kind of struck him a little bit, so he's kind of stuck.
Yeah, and as things progress too, the Bills are not only stopping at the running back position, they've also made one of the premier trades of the offseason. You saw DeAndre Hopkins go to the Arizona Cardinals, and Stephon Diggs comes to Buffalo. We've been talking that trade up. The thing that makes it good for the Bills is the amount of money they have to pay him. A four-year deal with $11 or $12 million a year seems like a bargain when you look at Amari Cooper getting $20 million a year from Dallas. But how good do you see Stephon Diggs? How good a player is he?
I think he's really good. And I think he's one of those guys that gives you, he can attack all three levels of the defense and be really good in all three areas, short, intermediate, vertical. You know, he's not a burner in a strict sense, but he can get over the top of the defense. He's a really good route runner, Steve. And, you know what that's all about. He's really has an understanding of how to set up corners, how to use his vertical stem, how to use his feints and leans and subtle moves. And you know, we take that for granted. We just assume all receivers are good route runners. They're not. And Stephon Diggs is a very nuanced, detailed route runner. And when you combine him now with John Brown, and I assume Cole Beasley's back, so you know you have a pretty good receiving core. And the guy I would really look to take a step up, and I can't speak to receptions, is Dawson Knox. You have no idea what number of receptions, but you have a really talented, athletic tight end. So I think you have everything you're looking for now in your receiving core.
Greg, the Bills gave away a first rounder and some other picks to get Stephon Diggs. That's what do you think of the price they paid in that regard? First rounder and, you know, fifth and sixth this year and fourth rounder next year.
You know, the assumption would have to be, because we weren't involved in the negotiations, Murph, is that that's what it had to be in order to get Stephon Diggs. You know, I know people probably look at the Andre Hopkins deal and go, why, boy, they gave away too much. But we're not involved in those negotiations, so we don't know. And Diggs is not old, and he's really good. And, you know, again, you've made your team better. If you were looking, I don't know what they would have been looking for in the first round. But I think the other thing to factor in is the other moves you make, too, and we'll talk about those in a sec, I think they factor in as well. Because when you say, oh, they're giving up a first-round pick, then it comes down to what would they have used the first-round pick for? And that's always debatable because you don't know. But they help themselves in some other areas as well in free agency.
Well, not only did they help themselves in free agency, they also had a chance to sign one of their own that was due to become a free agent in Quentin Spain.
Yep.
Now, Quentin Spain has, you know, he's not the most athletic guard, but he probably had his best year as a pro last year. Did that surprise you?
Yeah, I thought that he sort of declined a bit his last year and a half in Tennessee, because I was very familiar with him from watching Tennessee. And yeah, it kind of surprised me. I thought he came back and played well, and they obviously felt the same thing, and they want continuity. You know, the one thing you always like to have with your O-line, if you can, it's tougher in this era of football than ever before, but you'd like to develop and keep some continuity, and I think that factored in as well, Steve.
We're with Greg Cosell. He is executive producer of NFL a matchup on ESPN, senior producer at NFL Films. Bills are kind of busy, Greg. I want to ask you about some of these moves, and some of them are keeping their own. Steve mentioned Quentin Spain. What about yesterday's move to re-sign Jordan Poyer and just the kind of base they have for their defense now? That's a building block they have back there in the secondary, isn't it?
Oh, I remember. I think it was 2 years ago at the Combine speaking with Leslie Frazier, and we were talking about Hyde and Poyer and how critical they are to the defense, and the fact that they're interchangeable safeties. They line up where they do based on the front, and they can both play in the box. They can both play deep. They both have corner ability to cover because they both were corners in college. So you're dealing with two really versatile, multidimensional safeties. And I think those guys, to me, and I'm sure the Bills think that because they re-signed Poyer, I think those kinds of safeties have become so important in today's NFL.
One of the surprising things about this early part of free agency is that the Bills signed a bunch of defenders. Now, their defense was top three last year. And they let's start. They signed three guys up on the defensive line, and Mario Addison, Vernon Butler, and Quentin Jefferson. Tell us a little bit about each one. Let's start with Mario Addison.
Mario Addison is a long, lanky edge pass rusher, and that's the Bills need that kind of player. They do not really have an edge pass rusher. And Addison has been very good in Carolina. He's got some suddenness to him, some explosiveness to him, but he's long, he's lanky, he can bend the edge a little bit. He's a good player, not a star. You know, not the, when you talk about the top four or five edge rushers in the league, his name won't come up, but he's a really solid player who fills an immediate void because they did not have that guy at all.
Hey, Greg, AJ Klein comes over from the Saints, spent time in Carolina. I think the Bills are counting on AJ Klein to be a starter at the Lorenzo Alexander outside spot. What do you think of that?
Yeah, well, he was also in Carolina when Sean and Brandon Bean were there. And A.J. Klein came out of Iowa State, really solid player. He played a lot of snaps with the Saints. He played in their base. He played in their sub. I think you're 100% right. I think it'll be Klein, Edmonds, and Milano as the starting linebackers in the base. It'll be interesting to see then what they do in their nickel, because they're a nickel defense, not a dime defense. Obviously, they've been playing Edmonds, who's super athletic, and Milano, who's been a great nickel linebacker. But Klein is a really solid player. He's one of those guys that doesn't make mistakes. He knows the defense because he's played in it before. He's just another one of those really solid signings that improves your defense.
What kind of player is Vernon Butler, the defensive lineman they signed to a two-year deal?
Yeah, Vernon Butler was a first-round pick of the Carolina Panthers when Dave Gettleman was there. Late first-round pick. I think it was late first round. Maybe it was middle. I can't remember. A player with a lot of talent, and it never quite came out consistently. But he's a player who can line up as a one-technique player, as a three-technique player. Probably in this defense, he'll be a one-technique because they'll expect Ed Oliver to take a major step forward from year one to year two. But Butler is really that guy. He's probably best as a one-technique because he's about 315 pounds. If you can get out of him what the ability is, because the ability is there, he can be a really solid player. He's probably, at this point in his career, a rotational player, but those guys have become so important now.
Hey, Greg, since the Senior Bowl 4 or 5 years ago, I've always been enamored of Tyler Medikevich, who's done what he was expected to do for the Pittsburgh Steelers on special teams. I think it's a good signing for the Bills. What do you think?
Yeah, I know Tyler Medikevich. He actually sat in my office the year he came out, and we watched some tape together because he played at Temple.
Yeah.
Really good special teams player, can give you really good depth at linebacker. You know, again, I don't fancy myself a special teams expert at all, but you need those kinds of players. The one guy I really do want to talk about, because I love him, and it just happened the Bills signed him, was Quentin Jefferson. I loved him since he came out of the University of Maryland. I thought he had a really good year this year in Seattle. He can play end. He can play tackle. He's got versatility. He can rush the quarterback. You know, to me, that's one of those signings. It was an under-the-radar signing because Quentin Jefferson playing out in the Pacific Northwest is certainly not a household name, but I think he's a really, really good player. And given that now they have, you know, they lost Jordan Phillips, so they were looking to replace Jordan Phillips, basically, because Phillips had a really nice year for them. And I think with Jefferson, with Butler, and particularly Jefferson, they've really done that.
We'll have more from Greg Cassell on the other side of this as our interview of the day. This is More on the Nightcap on WGR. Welcome back to the Nightcap. The interview of the day, Greg Cassell on with One Bills Live. We'll get you the rest of that right now.
Around a little bit around the greater thing. We spoke a little bit about Todd Gurley just in passing. He signs with Atlanta after being a free agent just for a minute. I mean, he was less than 24 hours.
Right, right.
What is Atlanta getting? And it all kind of, I know it all depends on his health. His knee is always a question mark.
Well, all I can do is tell you what the tape shows. And, you know, with me, it's no agenda, never personal. But this past year, the tape did not do him well. He did not look like a very good back. He looked like a straight line guy who'd lost his burst. So unless he's much, much better physically, I don't think Todd Gurley at this point in his career, and he's not old, but I don't think Todd Gurley at this point in his career gives you a whole lot.
It's interesting. I want to ask you about another. Now, this guy is old. Tom Brady, age 42, going to be 43 next year. What do you think? Is Tampa Bay making a bold move here or a mistake? What do you think, Greg?
Well, I wish I was 42, Murph. You know, that seems so like a long time ago.
I wish you were, too.
No, I think it's a good move. Brady can still play. Bruce Arians is a very smart guy. They'll mix and meld Bruce Arians' concepts with what Tom Brady likes to do well. And they'll take scripted vertical shots, which Tom Brady can do. Because you have to remember, certain vertical throws, and Steve knows this, are not arm strain throws. If you throw a post on time, that's not an arm strain throw. Fades are not arm strain throws. So they'll mix and match. I think it's a good move. Brady can still play. They've got a lot of weapons. I think it'll end up being successful. What that means as far as one lost record or playoffs, no one can answer that. But I think it's a good move.
Last year, you got a chance really for the first time in a handful of years to see an extended stretch where Teddy Bridgewater got on the field for the New Orleans Saints. They went 5-0 while he was the quarterback. No question it really enhanced his marketability in the free agent market. How do you think it's going to play out in Carolina for him?
You know what? I think it's a really good move because I know how Matt Rhule thinks. I've know Matt Rhule a little bit. He wants to start with the run game. That's sort of his foundation. He's a little bit old school. They certainly have the back to do that, so it makes sense. And I think for Bridgewater, then, it's a perfect situation because Bridgewater, I think, works best as a play-action quarterback where you have shot plays, scripted deeper throws and shot play types. you know, he's not a big arm guy. And I think that that makes perfect sense with how they see their offense and how they want their offense structured. Because Teddy Bridgewater is a really nice complementary quarterback. He's a system player. Of course, all quarterbacks really are, but he's a system player. And I think that with McCaffrey, it makes real good sense. He'll fit well there with how they want to structure what they do.
We're live on the line with Greg Cosell, senior producer, NFL Films, host of NFL Matchup. You can see it on ESPN. Phillip Rivers is a little bit younger than Tom Brady, but people wonder how much he has left in the tank, and now he gets to show us with Frank Reich and the Colts. What do you make of that move, Greg? What do you think?
Yeah, I love Phillip Rivers. You know, he's one of those guys, you just watch him play. Boy, does he understand the game. He's so good before the snap of the ball, which is what the game has turned into for quarterbacks these days. He's definitely lost something as a passer. They have a running back in Marlon Mack who, not necessarily a foundation guy, but they'll want to run the ball. They have a great O-line. They've really tried to upgrade their defense. I think they see Rivers as I don't want to say a caretaker, but as just a solid veteran quarterback who, within the context of how they want to play, can really run the offense effectively. You don't want Rivers at this point in his career by choice dropping back 35, 40 times a game.
What do you think? The Los Angeles Chargers looked like they were in on the Tom Brady sweepstakes. It didn't work out for them. Are they really going to start the season with Tyrod Taylor at quarterback? And if they are, what do they get?
Well, you still have Cam Newton and Jameis Winston out there, and I'm very anxious to see how this plays out. If you play Tyrod Taylor, you guys know, you've got to have a lot of other pieces. But I think now, with what Lamar Jackson did, and Tyrod's not Lamar, but I think people will look at Tyrod Taylor, their staff anyway, and think, hey, we can do a lot of those run game concepts with Tyrod Taylor, more so than maybe we're done in Buffalo, because Buffalo, at that point in the league, teams didn't see the quarterback that way as much as they do now. So, and it was only a few years ago. But, you know, I think if they go with Tyrod Taylor, those are the kinds of things they'll do. He can throw the deep ball a little bit. So you'll try to work through his strengths and minimize his limitations.
Hey, Greg, there's so much going on in NFL free agency this week. We took a break from the draft prospects. We'll resume that next week. And the draft is still on for April 23rd right now. It's impossible, I would think, for anyone to predict, but the draft's going to be not public anymore, but any other major impacts, you think, on the draft based on what's happened so far in this country?
Well, you know, there could be, because pro days are very important. You get to meet with the kids individually. Not only do you see them work out, but you get to talk to them. You know, I think that's really important for later round picks. You know, the top guys, you know, that's not going to matter for Isaiah Simmons. It's not going to matter for Joe Burrow. It's not going to matter for Chase Young. But I think when you start getting into second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth round, you want to be able to see a guy in person. You want to be able to talk to him. You want to be able to stand and talk to his coaches face to face. These things are not going to happen now. Yeah. And so I'm curious to see how it all plays. Now people will be relying on film and just reports that they get, you know, faxed reports, emailed reports. That's the way it's going to be. So I think it's going to be a little different.
That was Greg Cosell on One Bills Live. Thanks for tuning into the Nightcap these last couple days. Thanks for hanging out with us. For Joe DiBiase, I'm Derek Kramer. And hey, this may not be the easiest of times right now for anyone that is dealing with the tough times. Hey, you know where you can find us. We're on Twitter. You can always tweet at SneakyJoeWGR. You can tweet at me at DerekKramer49. We're always here to help you, and we hope we did this past week with the Nightcap here. Thanks for hanging out with us. Well, we hope to do it again next week. We'll see. There's only one way to find out, though. Keep it locked here on WGR Sports Radio 550.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.